6 years ago today, to the day, was Nelson Mandela's funeral held in South Africa. As we know, Mandela became a towering figure, and he attracted over 100 heads of state and world leaders to his memorial service. And yet actually, when we look at the whole of Mandela's life, he wasn't a particularly good man. By all accounts, not much of a father. As a political leader, he was quite impulsive and divisive. As for a resistance fighter, he was pretty hopeless. And as president, he had little flair for government. What he did have, though, according to the Times newspaper at the time, was a rare ability to lead his fellow human beings away from the abyss. Mandela realised that the best way to change his country was not by seeking vengeance, but by offering the apartheid regime redemption. That was the Times newspaper. Something happened to Mandela during his 27 years in prison. Something happened that made him a better man. Something happened that developed his character. Reflecting on his release, Nelson Mandela said himself, "As I walked out of the doors towards my freedom, I knew that if I did not leave all the anger, hatred and bitterness behind, then I would still be in prison." Mandela had had a vision for justice and equality, but he'd been going about it the wrong way. Now, he still had the same vision, but recognised that there was a better way, that there was a deeper and truer reality to live by. There's another character who pointed to a better way, who declared that there is a deeper and truer reality to live by, and that's the character that we remember particularly today, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was the prophet, who was the messenger of Jesus, the one who prepared the way. And so let's consider for a few moments what it might be to follow ourselves in John's example, for we ourselves to be involved in preparing the way of the Lord, for we ourselves to be living as messengers of Jesus. So firstly, messengers of Jesus. I'm not sure that John the Baptist would have got on very well in a modern election campaign in this country, because he seemed to do all the wrong things. Mind you, having said that, some of our politicians seem to do all the wrong things as well. I'm not sure hiding in fridges is a particularly well-tried and tested form of electioneering. But John seems to go about it all the wrong way in terms of being a messenger, because he doesn't seem to make any attempt to make his message appealing or attractive. Quite the opposite. He doesn't make any attempt to go to where the people are and to try and connect with them in the cities and the towns. Rather, he is living out in the wilderness, away from people, wearing camel hair gear, eating locusts and wild honey. And yet, we're told, the crowds seek him out. The crowds flock to him. So what was John's secret? Well, God is at work. God is at work working out his purposes, and John the Baptist is in tune with what God is doing. And because he's in tune with what God is doing and the way that the Spirit is at work, his message resonates with people. John's in tune, and he's being faithful to his calling, to what he has been asked to do. And because he's faithful to his calling, not trying to be anything else or anybody else, his life has an authenticity to it. An authenticity that is attractive. an authenticity that makes him credible, an authenticity that is powerful. The way he's living his life is not normal culturally, but it is aligned with God's will. And so he is embodying, in the way that he's living and in the message that he's proclaiming, embodying what God is at work doing. And so John the Baptist doesn't need to chase the crowds. They are attracted to him. And I guess for us, the more we are able in our daily lives to be able to embody the life that God calls us to live, for each of us to authentically live out the call that is placed upon us, even if that's very different from the call placed on the person sat next to us. If we're able to live a life that, like John the Baptist, prepares the way, that reveals to people that actually God's kingdom is near, then that will have that authentic power about it. It will be attractive. And so, as a church, as individuals, we don't necessarily need to seek to be relevant or trendy. We don't need to compromise on the gospel truth revealed in Jesus. But I think what we do need to do is to trust God. Trust God enough to live authentically as the people he's called us and created us to be. And like John, to be attentive and obedient. To give our lives to preparing the way. How can we be like that? Well, of course, John's message was one of repentance, repent, but it didn't stop there. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, was the essence of his message. The kingdom of heaven has come near, preparing the way. So perhaps it would be helpful for us to pause for a moment and just to reflect again on what it means for us to repent in order that the kingdom of heaven may come near. Well, when we think about repentance, we perhaps think about sin and being sinful. But fundamentally, I don't think that sin is really anything to... Well, not really anything to do. Fundamentally, sin isn't so much about the things we might do or fail to do, as often our confessions say. But rather, I think those things, the things we do or fail to do, are symptoms of a deeper issue. For at its heart, I believe that sin is fundamentally about not trusting God. And if we don't trust God as our loving Heavenly Father, then all the sins that we might think of flow from that. I think at its heart, sin is about how we answer the question, do we believe and trust that God wants the best for us? And can we live from that place of belief and trust that God wants the best for us? Sin, I think, is about not believing God. Sin is at its heart about not trusting God, not taking God's word for it, believing the half-truths, which of course are lies, that are fed to us by a non-believing world. If we think about sin, we might go back to Genesis 3 and think about the serpent and Adam and Eve, and the doubt that the serpent cast there. Did God really say? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? A seed of doubt is sown, resulting in both Adam and Eve deciding that they were no longer going to trust God. They would no longer take his word for it. They knew better than God. And so to repent, therefore, I believe to turn away from not taking God's word for it, from not trusting God. And instead, to repent is to choose to trust God. to choose to take God's word for it, to choose to trust that God knows best and that he wants the best for us, and to live our lives on the basis of that trust and that belief. John didn't just say repent, he said repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repentance is about turning around. It's about embracing a deeper, a truer reality. It's about living life differently as a result. No longer being consumed with all the angst and the anxiety and the damaging behaviour of not being able to trust God. Rather, able to focus on living the amazing adventure of an authentic life as part of God's great story of salvation. Nelson Mandela embraced a deeper, truer reality when he changed his direction of travel, away from fighting a cause to offering redemption to the apartheid regime. John the Baptist made clear that preparing the way of the Lord means I must become less so that he might become more. We as disciples of Jesus today are invited to be messengers of the true and living God, to live our lives in God's presence, and to get caught up in the great adventure of seeing justice and peace established on earth and in our lives, so that we are playing our part in preparing the way for Christ to return when all will be made complete. Amen.